This is Mandy. Weird.
And this is Leanne.
And you're listening to Two Blonde Sleuths. All right. In honor of Spooky October, I wanted to do the most terrifying story ever told.
Oh, okay.
At least in my opinion.
A big statement.
I know. That's actually what I think I'm going to name the episode. Seriously.
Most terrifying case ever?
Most terrifying story ever told.
Oh, okay.
Want me to tell it like in a spooky voice the whole time? Or do you want me, since it's spooky?
Can I hear that spooky voice?
I'm going to say a... Okay.
Yeah, do you want to do your sexy voice or spooky voice?
I get confused with the same.
The same voice. I think you're spooky and you're sexy are the same.
In a very dark and stormy night. Yeah, I don't think I can do spooky because it sounds like a phone sex operator. So we're going to nix that idea. I'm just going to talk in my normal voice.
Okay.
You may know this story. We're going to do a spooky campfire episode, by the way, sometime in October. And I thought about for Halloween talking about it in there. And Emma's like, you just need to do a whole episode on it. And I was like, you know what? You're right. Because this, it has a lot of parts, not something you can tell really fast. And it was on the show. What is it called on Hulu? The Worst Thing That's Ever Happened or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and I'm sure it's on ID, but it's the story of Danny LaPlante.
No, I'd never heard of him.
Danny was born in 1970 in Townsend,
Massachusetts.
Thank you. His upbringing was not great. He had an abusive father and he didn't have many friends in school. Danny attended St. Bernard's High School in Fitchburg. I'm not sure if I said that right. He didn't do very good academically or socially. Kids called him creepy and weird. He didn't have the greatest hygiene. In his early teens, Danny became a small-time thief. Then it progressed into breaking into homes. So that wasn't good. I mean, he had a little rough upbringing and then people called him names that weren't very nice, but they just, yeah, it's terrible. Poor Danny.
Poor Danny.
Will you just wait and listen? So some more about Danny, okay?
Okay.
So in 1986, Danny, 16 at the time, starts calling a girl named Tina, who was 15. Tina lived with her 9-year-old sister, Karen, and their dad. Her mother had actually passed away just a little while before that. So Danny, he begins calling the house and talking to Tina, and he told her that they went to the same high school, and one of their mutual friends had given him her phone number. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you remember, I think that probably happened to me when I was in high school. Like somebody called and they're like, oh, I got your phone number, girl from so-and-so.
Yeah.
Danny and Tina became acquainted. They talked a lot and they got close. So after a little while, he told her when they were chatting on the phone, a couple of weeks, whatever. But he told her he was an athletic, good-looking blonde guy. Okay.
Oh, they never met in real life.
Never met in real life yet, but since they were getting closer, they decided he asked her if he could take her on a date. So when Danny came to Tina's house to get her, she was taken by surprise because he was not at all like he had described himself.
Nope, not if he was like you described him earlier.
Yes, he was unkempt looking. He had dark hair and he just was, they've said, just not very like.
He was like slovenly, like just kind of.
Not at all what he had described to her. She was being 15 years old, right? She was kind of like a little surprised, but she decided, okay, I'll go out on the date with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I read different reports. They went to the fair. They went and got ice cream. So whatever they did, they went out and she spent maybe an hour with him, not very long. While they were together, she told him about how her mother had died from cancer. And she said that he was very interested in her being sick and what happened and how it made her feel. And at the time, I think she just thought,
maybe he was like, he cared, being thoughtful.
Yes. I read conflicting reports of this, that she just wasn't real into him. I read one report and she rejected him. And then I also read that her dad had found out some bad stuff about him, that he had a bad reputation and wouldn't let her see him anymore. Yeah. Regardless, they quit talking after that. They quit seeing each other. I would see where she wouldn't want to talk to him too much after he completely lied about his appearance and everything, but.
Yeah, he catfished her a little bit.
He definitely catfished her before catfishing was ever a thing. Way before the internet, cell phones. Okay, about a week later, the girls, Tina and her sister, decided to do a game. This is what it said, to contact their mother that had passed. Which,
like a Ouija board?
It said a seance game. And I'm pretty sure they meant a Ouija board because in the 80s, we were definitely using that Parker Brothers Ouija board every weekend. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Missy and I had one. I was like, let's do the Ouija board. I mean, that was like a really common thing in the 80s. So they do that and they try to contact their mom. Well, that night, like after they did it, they started hearing noises in the house. Creaks and moans and just some odd like noise.
I do know this story. Go ahead.
I figured you did. There's no way you can't know this story.
Sorry, go. It's a good one though. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is. So they told their dad about it, you know, that they were hearing things. And the dad said, she actually told her dad, look, we were trying to contact mom. And I think we accidentally contacted a bad spirit. And now it's in the house and we're being haunted. And the dad was, of course, like, no, that is not happening. That is not the case. Yeah.
I would have said the same thing to my kid. Like, no, that's ridiculous.
For sure you would have. Brian, that's actually her dad's name. He thinks that the girls are just maybe trying to get his attention because of their mother passing away. And so he blows them off. So the creaks and moans do continue. So one day Brian gets a call from the girls at work. They're crying. They're hysterical. They're upset. And they said, something happened. You've got to come home. And he comes home and the girls, they refuse to go back to the house. They're at the neighbor's house. And the girls tell him, said, dad, go in the basement. We found something down there. We're freaked out. So dad gets home. He goes down in the basement and he finds in red paint written on the basement wall, come find me. That's what it says. So the girls, they had heard a noise down in the basement when they were upstairs and they went down there with a knife together. And that's when they found the message on the wall, freaked out, ran over to the neighbors.
Terrified.
Can you imagine?
Terrified.
You thought Mark was bad, right?
Yeah, the mark not in the basement, so.
No, he wasn't. Yeah. The dad, he sees that, but there's no signs of an intruder, like at all. So he just thinks the girls are doing this for attention, and he insists that they need to start counseling, like grief counseling, and deal with their issues because they're just trying to get all this attention. He thought they wrote that on the wall or something, which mm-hmm. is crazy, right? So in the next few weeks, Brian actually did start noticing some strange things himself. They'd all be gone, come home and furniture would be moved. Things would disappear around the house. And he thought, okay, maybe there really is a ghost. Maybe that's what's going on.
Yeah.
One day, Brian gets another panic call from the girls. Tina said that someone had been in her room this time. So Brian goes into the house and into Tina's room and he sees marry me written in red. And he said it looked like blood right above the bed. Okay. Then the dad sees a young man wearing a blonde wig, makeup, and his dead wife's clothing, a dress, and has a hatchet in his hand. And guess what? The boy, that was Danny.
Yeah. Oh, Danny boy.
Danny charges the dad and they start to wrestle. But Brian, thankfully, the dad, he has grown man strength. That's what Justin calls it. And he's able to wrestle the boy and get the hatchet away from him. So, Danny, they call him both things. He runs away. And so Brian, of course, calls the police and Brian can't find him anywhere. And so when the police arrived, they determined that all the writing on the wall was just ketchup. They searched the house. They figure out how he disappeared so fast and even got into the house. They discover a crawl space behind a cupboard that was built into the wall in Tina's bedroom.
Oh, God.
Yeah. When he opened it, he discovered Danny hiding in the crawl space in Tina's room. Could you imagine? So they arrested.
My worst nightmare. That's what it's called.
Yes. My worst nightmare. And it would be your worst nightmare. So they arrested Danny. And afterwards, they discovered that he had been living in the crawl space for weeks. There was food and blankets and bedding. There was also peepholes in all the walls, like in the different rooms. So he could look through and peep in.
That's insane. Like some of this, I don't remember. Something clicked and I remembered it, like what it was about.
Oh, yeah.
He went to prison. What happened to Danny?
So I'll finish. It gets so much worse. So they, of course, sentenced him to detention hall. His mom mortgages her house. So a few months later, it may have been a year that he was in there, but a few months after, she mortgages her house and gets him out. Okay. She gets mm-hmm. him out of the detention center because he's 16. So after his release, he starts back robbing homes and breaking into houses. And he also, he would break into people's houses and he would steal things. Then he would go in there and he would move furniture around and play mind games with them. Kind of reminded me of the Manson family. Yeah. They did that. And he probably didn't know they did that. Well, maybe he did. Maybe he was a big Charles Manson fan because that all happened before him. But anyway, he would move because that's where I had heard that before. And that really freaked me out that they would do that before, like they would break into people's houses and do that. And then they would kill him later. There was woods behind his house and kind of a between some neighborhoods. And that's what he would do. He would hang out in these woods and he would creep, I guess, when he saw people weren't home, and he'd go into the houses and he'd sit there in the woods and wait for them to leave. And then he'd rob the homes. So 2 months after he had gotten out of the detention hall, his mother had gotten him out. 2 months after his release, Danny did something even more terrifying. He had started breaking into the homes, like I said, and he had broken into this specific house. No one was home at the time he had broken into it and stole some stuff. But he decided to go back to that house. This time on December 1st, 1987, he broke into the home of, she was a mother, Priscilla, and no, I cannot say this last name, Gustafson. I cannot say.
Gustafson.
Gustafson.
Yeah, Gustafson.
Okay. And murdered her and her two children, 5 and 7.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I mean, it was so horrific. I don't want to go into detail. I don't, you know, I have a rule where I don't do children crimes, and I definitely don't go into details about when they get killed. So he had gone through the woods between his house and Priscilla's home. So he had dropped, of course, it wasn't much DNA back then, but he had dropped a shirt and gloves in the woods, and they had a dog and it sniffed it all the way to his house. He went on trial for the murders and he was convicted of 3 life sentences. This kind of creeped me out. He's still in prison to this day. And in 2017, Danny appealed for a reduced sentence. You know how they had that new law when you got sentenced when you were a juvenile, they try to get lighter sentences. But the judge said that he did not seem remorseful for his crimes.
I believe that.
I believe totally. And he will not be able to parole for another 45 years. Or he won't be up for parole.
I don't think he's going to get out of prison.
I don't either. And that is, to me, the most terrifying story ever.
It's pretty terrifying.
Not funny. I don't know why I laugh, but isn't that awful?
I don't have an addict now.
Oh my gosh, right? I knew you had to know that story. There's not many stories when you see so many, they, you know, don't stick with you as much. That one, I have never forgotten that. And actually, they mentioned it on a podcast recently, and that's what made me think of it. And I said it to Emma. She was like, no, you need to do an episode on it, a short episode, because it is just so freaky.
Yeah, because it's not just creepy. It's not like he just got caught hanging out in the thing and kind of, you know, messing with their minds. I mean, he ended up murdering 3 people. So
that was horrible. I mean, that was just so horrible. They escalated. Of course.
You know, his mom feels terrible. Like, she got him out, mortgaged her house, and then she got him out for him to murder 3 people. And I bet she's not okay.
He would have eventually gotten out anyway, though. Being a juvenile, they kind of acted like he had a rough home life. They said, actually, the psychiatrist, he did. I mean, he did have a rough home life. They said his dad actually physically and sexually.
Ew.
Yeah, I can't, but abused him. And he had a psychiatrist or psychologist that he went to because they said he had hyperactivity disorder. And he went to this psychologist and they said that it was a man and he molested him. I'm like,
but Danny couldn't catch a friggin' break.
I know, not that I think he's.
And people get, I mean, this is bad, but people get molested and abused all the time. They don't turn into murderers. So
monsters. I mean, he turned into a monster.
Literally a monster. Yeah.
He really did. He definitely changed the definition of stalking and
moved in. Did parents not realize he wasn't home?
I think that was part of like that he could get away with it. He probably did come home sometimes. I guess he'd go out of the crawl space and go
out. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess he'd come in and out, but he definitely stayed there because they found blankets and food. I think he would like get food in the house while they were all asleep.
Yeah.
That would be easy to do that, I assume, if you're. But he was trying to scare them and make them think that, like, he was a ghost, I think, majority of the time.
Yeah, he's just creepy.
I mean, the whole ending part where he had the mom's wedding dress on and the wig. The show I watched, he had the wedding dress on, but every report I read, it just said it was her clothes and a dress, a wedding dress. But sometimes, you know, on the shows.
More exciting unless you ever have a wedding dress on. That's just creepy. Creep, that's like the ultimate creep.
Yeah, they embellished a little bit, but he did have makeup on and a blonde wig and was carrying a hatchet, like, or an axe,
Like the grind stacks?
Yeah, I'm sure it was, unless he went to his garage at home and then came back. Could you imagine being those girls and feeling like lucky you're alive?
Yeah, no. Or being Brian and walking in the room. What in the shit have I just walked into?
Yeah, I should have believed my girls.
Is this really happening right now?
I know. Okay, thank y'all for listening. And maybe next time, Leanne will tell a story.
I promise I will. I am.
Okay. And like, subscribe.
Yes.
twoblondesleuths@gmail.com. And we are doing a campfire episode in October.
Yes.
When you come.
Okay.
All right. See you.